Last week I started a series on the reality of righteousness. The reality of righteousness. And glory to God. I'm really excited about what the Lord has for this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Somebody say all. All these things shall be added unto you. See, the Lord had me talk for about 9 weeks about finances in the kingdom of God. And we got that from Luke chapter 12, kind of Luke's version of this, where it says, but seek the kingdom of God. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so the thing that he wanted you to see is that, number one, that God, look at him as your Father. Don't look at him as God, look at him as your Father. And it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything that you need for life and godliness is in the kingdom of God. Now, where does the kingdom of God dwell? Jesus said, don't look there, don't look over there. The kingdom of God dwells within you. Amen. But now, in addition to that, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 8, but unto the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And so last week what we learned is, what is righteousness? For years as a believer, I've heard different terminologies and different definitions used for righteousness. But what really is righteousness? Let's not make it too complicated. Righteousness is God's standard of living, or what God's standard is for us. It's the way that he operates. He has a standard by which he operates. And if we operate the same way that God operates, then we are operating in righteousness. Because what God says and what God does is right. And so when we do things the way that God says it and the way God does it, that makes us right. And so that simply is, when you're putting forth righteousness. For instance, let's talk about our government for a moment. Not very long. We don't want to depress anybody. But the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation. And that when the wicked are in rule, then it affects everybody. Everybody, there's depression, there's grieving, there's all these things that come as a result when those that are wicked are in rule. And regardless of who, what party you vote for, all of them right now seems to be pretty wicked. You know, there's not really, there's lies going forth. There's cover-ups going forth. There's greed going forth. I would say that the standard of righteousness, God's standard, is not being exalted in our government. Our judges are striking down laws in states where people have voted to keep God's standard of righteousness when it comes to marriage. God says that marriage is one husband and one wife. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to the wife of his youth. That is God's definition of what marriage is. That is the standard of marriage. That is what is right concerning marriage. And so there have been people in different states that have voted to say this is what marriage is. We are voting to uphold God's standard of righteousness. That's righteous. But now we have judges and other people in government that are seeking to undermine that and that are striking those laws down. Those are people that are not living after the standard of righteousness. They are seeking to exalt something other than that which is right. He says we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. What that simply means is that Jesus rules, Jesus reigns through righteousness. Righteousness is the standard. He's not going to deviate from it. When he was on the earth, he always lived a life of righteousness. He said, whatever I hear my father say, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever I see my father do, that's what I'm going to do. And so regardless of what the world wanted them to do, he always did what God said. I'm going to keep my standard at God's standard. Now, we as human beings have a problem, or we had a problem. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. Are you getting hungry yet? In Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law or outside of the law. Now, before I go much further, remember it said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. Now the righteousness of God, his righteousness, outside of the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hold your finger there and turn over to chapter 5. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Stop there. You can go back for just a moment. Something happened when Adam and Eve sinned. And it really wasn't so much Eve's sin, because the Bible says she was deceived, as much as it was Adam's, because he willfully disobeyed the voice of God. And when he did that, through him, sin entered into the world, and then death became the ruling force in this world. Do you remember sometime there were some people that came to Jesus and he said, you are of your father, the devil? How would you like it if I told you you're of your father, the devil? You're the children of Satan. You'd get up, you'd leave, say, I'm never coming back to this church again. But that's what Jesus did. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Now, was he saying that those people were the direct offspring from Satan? No. What happened was, is that sin and death came into man and then was passed down to every person. every person that got saved, every person that entered into this world, that was born, you entered into a life of sin. A baby, as a baby is growing, a baby is just like a computer that has no instruction, doesn't know what to do. Baby's going to cry when it wants to eat. Baby's going to cry when something doesn't feel good. Baby's going to cry when his diaper needs to be changed. Whatever it is, the baby doesn't know anything about sin. Baby doesn't know anything about righteousness. As the child grows, becomes 2, 3 years old, starts playing with another brother or sister or another friend, as that other child picks up a toy and starts playing with it, something happens to this 2 or 3 year old child that hasn't had any instruction one way or the other. He sees that toy and says, I want that, and I don't want him to have it. And next thing you know, these 2 or 3 year old kids, they're going at it fighting over this toy. Now, who taught them that? Sin taught them that. What happened was the sin that was operating in them was causing, the Bible says, every man is enticed when he is drawn away by his own lust. In other words, something existed in the body that created a thought, and then once that had conceived, then it brought forth sin, and ultimately it leads to death. Amen? Now, why am I going through this? This is very basic, because it's imperative that you understand how we were enslaved to sin if we're going to get out of that and become slaves to righteousness. I'm describing to you a process that you can see and that you can understand so that you will then be able to follow along with the process of how to get out of those things that have held you in bondage and start living a life to God's standard of righteousness. So you understand the illustration about the child. We grow up and just thoughts come. Temptation comes. We're bound by sin. So God did something for us, knowing, without me going through a lot of scripture and for sake of time, he said, man will never be able to live up to the standard. I can tell him exactly how to live, but he'll never be able to. How many of you have experienced that? You've never been able to live up to the standard that God has for you. Back to chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's a lot of big words. Let me just break it down for you. First of all, verse 24, being justified freely. What does justified mean? Okay, justified. There's a scripture where people came to Jesus and they sought to justify themselves before him. In other words, they sought to prove that they were righteous, that they were always doing right. And so they looked at themselves and they tried, and sometimes we do that with people. People look down on us, then we want to justify ourselves, justify our actions. This is the reason that we did it. I'm okay. So now you get a sense of what justify means. But the problem is we cannot justify ourselves. So what God did is he said, if you will believe on me, if you will believe on what Jesus did, Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, he took your place and my place. so that we would no longer have to pay the penalty for our sin. We were guilty. Somebody said I was guilty. Say it.
Guilty.
If right now you stood before God and you were judged on every action in your life, it would not be a pleasant experience.
That's right.
If that is our standard for getting into heaven. So God sent his righteous son who had never sinned, and he did an exchange, and through his blood he took that guilt. He said, whatever that is, that would almost be like you going to court and they give you the death penalty for something that you did. And then somebody, when they give him the death penalty, gets up and says, I'll take the punishment. I'll take the punishment. That's what Jesus did. So now we have been justified freely by his grace. Nothing that you did. If you are born again, something happened. Now this is what I want you to get. God set forth Jesus to be our sacrifice, to declare his righteousness, verse 25, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Again, he said, verse 26, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. We must stop looking at ourselves and trying to justify why we deserve God's blessing, or justify why we don't deserve God's blessing, and condemning ourselves for what's going on in our lives. The focus here is not on you.
That's right.
The focus is on Jesus.
Yes.
His righteousness, his blood, his sacrifice, not what you did. You only have one thing that you need to do. Believe. But what if I mess up tomorrow? Believe. Believe. Now, I'm going to start talking to you a little bit about what happens in your life when you become born again. Because, as I said last week, there is this thought that's running through the body of Christ that thank God for his grace. Thank God that now, because of his grace, I don't have to worry about the sin that's going on in my life. I can just always receive his forgiveness. And so some misinterpret that to mean I can continue to live in sin and I'm fine. Well, now we thank God for his grace and his forgiveness, and all sin has been forgiven if we believe on that, but it wasn't given so that we can stay in our sin. It wasn't given so that we could continue being bound by addiction. His grace was given so that righteousness would be deposited in us and would start ruling in our lives. His grace was given to elevate us and to take us out from the kingdom of darkness, to take us out from death. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whatever the devil has tried to do in your life through sin and disease and addiction and all of those things, the grace of God is given to take you out of that. Amen. So that you can live to that standard of righteousness.
Amen.
Yes.
Titus tells us that the grace of the Lord teaches us to live soberly and to live righteously in the world. And if Jesus rules through his standard of righteousness, and we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then it's talking about a standard by which we should be living our lives. Let's go to chapter 5 of Romans, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is or that was to come. So he's talking about death reigning and ruling, even when the law came during Moses' time. But verse 15 starts giving us a hint of what God is doing. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, if you're comparing how bad Adam screwed up because a lot of people, when they get to heaven, they want to kind of beat Adam and Eve upside the head. Why'd you make us go through that? All because of you. So we have a tendency to compare sin, its hold on our life, how we've been bound by addiction, and we just want to get free of it. And it's a struggle, and it's a struggle, and it's a struggle. And somehow, maybe we can get enough of God's grace, enough of his power to just get me out of it. And one of these days, I'm going to find myself in a place that I'm finally free from this. Or maybe we've messed up so many times, we think there's no more hope for us. It's not going to happen. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. He said, you cannot compare the gift that you have been given. It does not even come close to comparing to how bad Adam messed up. Don't put them on the same place. Don't see your sin this strong and then the righteousness of God just a little bit stronger that's going to be able to get you out of it. For if through the offense of one, many are dead, much more, somebody say much more. Much more. Say it again, much more.
Much more.
You got to get a much more mentality regarding the righteousness and the grace of God if you're ever going to walk in those things. If you're always measuring the grace of God towards the level of your sin, then you're not giving it justice. And you'll never rise out of where you're supposed to be. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Notice how every time he's talking about grace and righteousness, he's talking about abundance, abounding. God didn't just barely get you out of your problems. He's more than enough. I don't care how long you've been addicted. I don't care what's been going on in your life. I'm telling you, if you'll get a revelation of how much God has bestowed his grace upon you. He hasn't just bestowed it. Now, get this. He hasn't just given you his grace and his righteousness just so that you can say, thank you, Father, that I am forgiven of my sin. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. I've seen that bumper sticker. And sometimes we focus on just the forgiveness and the forgiveness and the forgiveness. Well, I messed up, but I'm forgiven. I messed up, but I'm forgiven. I messed up, but I'm forgiven. I confess it and I'm confessing it and I'm repenting and I'm repenting. And it's this ongoing cycle over and over and over and over again. And how do I get out of it? Because I haven't recognized that the grace of God has been given not just to forgive me of my sin, but it has abounded towards me to lift me up out of it so that I can live at that standard of righteousness. Verse 16. So, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. In other words, you still can't compare the two. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Guilty. You were born into this world. As soon as you drew your first breath, you were guilty. Because sin was operating in you. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Doesn't matter how many times you messed up, his gift to you justifies you in his sight. Just a few more scriptures, because next week is where it's going to get good. I mean, this is good. But next week, we're going to talk about being enslaved to righteousness. How would you like, I said this last week, but how would you like to do what's right all the time without having to make yourself do what's right? So get all your friends and family and neighbors and say, we're going to learn something new. Because next week, we're going to learn about what it means to be enslaved to righteousness. My goodness. But we have to eat this morning, so I have to bring this to a close. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death ruled by one. In other words, he did one sin, he allowed death to enter into the world. Much more, there it is again. Somebody say it. Much more. Much more. They which receive a little bit of grace. Are y'all reading along with me? Much more they that receive an equal amount of grace. Much more they that receive abundance of grace. How much grace are you receiving in your life? I would dare say that most people aren't receiving abundance of grace in their life. They're receiving just enough grace for them to get by. Just enough grace for them to feel better about themselves. Just enough grace to get from one sin to the next sin. Just enough grace. And as long as you receive that much grace, then you're okay. Instead of allowing grace to finish its work in you and propel you to a level of living in righteousness. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The Amplified says that they shall reign as kings in life. We're talking about life right here, not when you get to heaven. God expects you as a son of God to rule and reign in your situations. You should rule over sin. You should have control over what's going on in your life because of the authority that he has placed on the inside of you. But it will only happen as you start receiving out of the kingdom, as you seek first his righteousness, as you receive abundance of grace on the inside of you. Yeah. The Bible says, let me just quickly give you three scriptures as an intro for next week. Thank you, Lord. There's so many different things that we can go to. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who did not know sin, that we might be made what? Are you a sinner saved by grace? Or are you the righteousness of God in Christ? How do you see yourself? You were created in righteousness. Your nature has changed. And so next week, what we're going to learn is just like that little baby. Empty computer. Nobody taught him about sin. Nobody taught him about his nature. It just started happening. You didn't have to teach him how to steal. You didn't have to teach him how to lie. You didn't have to teach him how to be greedy. You didn't teach him how to be jealous. It just happened. In the same way that his nature became manifested through his actions, so shall your new nature, which is righteousness, start being manifested in what you do. Part of the key First Timothy chapter 6 verse 11 First Timothy chapter 6 verse 11 I want to show you two times Paul said this to Timothy. In his daily conduct and how he lived, he said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." In other words, that needs to be the focus. Follow after. And righteousness was the first thing. He said it again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If it wasn't possible for us to live that way, why would he set it up there as a standard? Why would he set it up there as a standard? And then finally, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And as we go there, looking at verse 11, remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What you need in life? What you going to eat? What you going to be clothed with? Where you going to live? What you going to do? All of those things will be taken care of as you are living out of the kingdom, as you are seeking first his righteousness. Now, here he says, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered. In other words, the writer of Hebrews was getting ready. He wanted to embark on some deep revelation. He says, but you are dull of hearing. You don't want to hear it. And the next verse says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. Stop there. I don't want what I'm about to say to be offensive, but it might be.
That's all right.
Many of you sitting here today ought to be teachers concerning the things of God. Many people that have been going to church, not just here, but other churches around the world, ought to be teachers of the Word of God. You have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've become such as you have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so, if I were just to blanketly say that could be you today, most of you would raise up and say, that's not me. I'm a word person. I'm a faith person. I'm strong in the Word. I know a lot of Christians that don't know as much of the Word, and so you are seeking to justify yourself. So let's look at the next verse. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Let me let that sit for a moment. Let it simmer like that roast is in the back. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful when it comes to the word of righteousness. In other words, righteousness needs to be a basic thing that you have operating in your life. And what I love about this is, while I could say it could be offensive, what I really mean is that I'm excited that maybe that if we've not been skillful in this word of righteousness, that we're going to get there so that we can live to that standard, so that we can be enslaved to it, so that we can now turn around and be teachers and help others get out of their problems.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
For he is a baby. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Now we're talking about our actions. Now we're talking about our lifestyle. Now we're talking about learning some things through what, as we implement this word of righteousness, who by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Righteousness becomes a lifestyle. You begin to discern what is righteous and what is not. And you live according to that which is right and that which is not. And as you live out of the kingdom and you live at that standard of righteousness, you are now in a place that everything that you desire, everything that you would normally seek after, all these things are added to you. As you walk and as you make decisions that are right and that are up to God's standard, you look around and there's promotion that just happened. You don't know why. And as you continue on and you continue to obey what God says and do what is right, you look around and your family's been put back together. As you continue on, all of a sudden, now somebody's giving you clothes. Somebody's giving you a new car. You don't know how it's happened. You're all of a sudden debt free. Why? Because you've decided I'm going to start living out of the kingdom, and the choices that I make from a financial standpoint are going to be to God's level of righteousness and his standard, instead of me always going to the bank and saying, bank, can I get some more money? Can I get some more money? I'm done going to the bank and descending below righteousness. I'm going to God because I'm living out of the kingdom, and I'm going to live at his standard from now on. Either God meant what he said or he didn't. And if he said all these things will be added unto me, then he either meant it or he didn't. but I'm not going to find out until I make a decision to live to that standard. Thank you, Lord. I can't just try 1 week, 1 month to do this and expect everything to change, because commitment is out of the heart. So I'm excited about where we're going. Next week, we learn what it means to be enslaved to righteousness, so that, man, when we get up in the morning, we just do what's right. And then you become a righteous dude. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the free gift of righteousness. We thank you for the gift of your grace. We thank you, Father, that we have been made righteous. We thank you, Father, that we can be skillful in the word of righteousness. We thank you. We thank you that you have lifted us out of the kingdom of darkness, and you have moved us, translated us, positioned us in the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for that. Father, I just pray that everybody that's listening will hunger, desire to follow after righteousness. Father, reveal to them the changes that they need to make, areas in their life that need to change. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm not going to have an altar call or anything like that this morning, but let me just say this. If you are here this morning and you say, well, I'd love to live that way, and you've never turned your life over to Jesus, you've never made him the Lord of your life, then that's the first step to living free from bondage. That's the first step to living this abundant life that he's promised you. And it's very simple. You just simply say, Father, I confess my sin before you. I believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. At that moment, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. At that moment, you've been made righteous. Hallelujah. So that's something to think about. Glory to God. Amen. Say this with me. Thank you, Father, for the gift of righteousness. Thank you, Father, for the gift of grace. Thank you, Father, that I've been made righteous. Thank you for your abundance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give them a praise offering. Glory to God. We thank you, Father.